What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and this is the Nintendo Fever Podcast, episode number 85. Oh my goodness. I know I maybe make it sound like I'm way too excited for the number every week now, but I just feel like I have to keep doing that, because if I don't, then one of these days it's going to make it sound like it's not important, where it is important. Going 85 episodes strong and not missing too many weeks is always really important. But luckily, the reason why is because I have a great co-host who's always there to help me along and keep the show weekly as we try to do. But Holly, how are you doing this week?
I'm just doing fantastic. It's episode 86, though.
86.
Another one of my roles is to
correct
the
me.
Episode numbers. So 86, even more exciting than 85.
I know. Imagine my excitement for 85. Now imagine all that one more number bigger, basically.
Yep.
I said 85 way too many times. Now I feel like I'm going to accidentally say it at some point during this episode. So 86, I don't know why. I don't have the notes that you always prepare so wonderfully beforehand. I didn't have them pulled up for some reason. I was looking at my audio recorder, and I just thought like I knew in my head what it was. But obviously, I need a visual reminder in front of me.
Yeah, and we don't actually have a whole lot on our notes this week, except for the episode number. It's there at the top, nice and big. That's always very important.
Yeah, it's not going to be a crazy show this week, but, you know, and that's kind of, I'm not too shocked that it's kind of dwindling down just a little bit, because it's obviously getting towards the end of the year. Christmas is nearly here for us, and then obviously New Year, and we're not going to hear a ton of new information coming up about like the Nintendo Switch or even Nintendo's mobile plans, but we are going to be talking a little bit at the end of the episode about Nintendo's mobile future. And I would like to speak a tiny bit about the Jimmy Fallon appearance of the Switch. I don't know if you've seen that yet, Holly. We haven't talked about it.
I saw it, but I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
So I work at a library, and that means that having headphones in or having your speakers on isn't the best idea.
Yeah,
as you
didn't miss much, honestly. All it was Jimmy Fallon repeatedly saying, I'm nerding out. I'm so nerding out right now.
I know. I figured that's what it looked like, and I think that's all that really matters. I mean, he just looked giddy, like a little kid in a candy shop kind of thing.
He did. But
and that is so cool. I'm jealous.
Before we get to the end of the episode, we are going to be talking about Pokemons. We're going to be talking about who's that Pokemon. We're going to talk about recent things that we purchased, what is out this week, anything important that we have been playing, and then we'll move on to the ending of our show. So without further ado, Holly, I think we should go ahead and jump into that who's that Pokemon.
I don't have a guess yet.
No, you don't have a guess. Okay. Well,
I thought I'd try to think of something totally random and then just throw it out there like a stupid or goofy Pokemon, but I got nothing.
This is a pretty random one, so I feel like you'll be able to get it off of a couple of key guesses as you normally do.
Okay. All right. So first, tell me which generation it comes from, as usual.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to pull up the generation for it.
Let me
do that real quick. Fill time.
The types.
Types are bug and flying.
Bug and flying?
Yes, bug and flying. And it looks like this one was first seen in generation number 4.
Gen 4, bug and flying. All right. I'll keep asking questions even though I have an idea of what it could be. Okay. Does it evolve or is it evolved from something?
It is evolved from something.
Okay, does it evolve into anything else?
It does not.
Okay, does it look regal? Does it have a lot of... Well, does it look regal, and does it have any, like, black and or yellow in its color
yes,
scheme?
It is black and yellow.
Okay, I have a good idea. Is it Vespiquen?
Vespiquen. Now I understand what you meant by regal. At first, I was like, what does she mean by regal?
Regal.
Well, but you mean
it
like
looks
royalty.
Regal.
It looks, yeah, regal. Now that I have a better idea of the
idea behind it, basically.
Yeah, the idea behind it just in general. Like, it looks, Queen I can understand the word regal now.
Yeah. Well, Vespiquen's an interesting one because here's just like a little, you know, Pokemon fun fact for the week. Vespiquen cannot be male, as you may see on your screen already, and its previous evolved form, Combi, comes in male and female, so the male version, that's weird, the male Combi cannot evolve, and they're also a lot more common than female, because, you know, the queen bee is supposed to be pretty unique, to say the least. So, little Pokemon evolution fun fact, don't try to evolve your male Combi, because it's just not going to work.
But what if I want it to really, really, really badly? still won't matter?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I just thought
maybe there's a hack or something. I don't know.
No, there's always a hack. I guarantee it. Well, okay, that's it's a very, very good Pokemons. But you, Holly, I'm sure have a Pokemon for us. And also, we got to talk about the super easy last week Pokemon.
Yeah, who made that comment? Someone made that comment on Twitter. Like, this was an easy one.
Yeah, somebody. It wasn't Gentis. It was Ivan.
Could have been Ivan.
I think it was Ivan that said that. He's like so easy, and I'm just like, it wasn't easy for me.
He is a Pokemon master. Certified.
He seems like it. Him and Gentis, they always get it pretty dang close if they don't get it exactly.
Yeah, so last week's... Have we even said last week's Pokemon yet?
We haven't
yet. It was Throw. So for anyone who was listening to the show and guessed Throw in their mind, you were correct. So that was last week's weird humanoid red-skinned fighting type Pokemon from Gen 5. However, this week we all, as usual, have a brand new random... chosen Pokemon for you listeners to try to guess as we give you these hints. As usual, I kind of have these hints in a specific order, and the first hint, as always, is the generation that this one is from, and it is from generation number 3. So get all those Gen 3 Pokemon in your head and, you know, sort them out in your mind while I'm stalling here so that you can think about it. Second hint for you is that it is a dual type Pokemon. It is both grass and flying. Now, after that, you may have a pretty dang good guess of what Pokemon this is. Grass and flying type. So if you feel like you know what it is, then good for you. But I'm going to move on and let you know how it evolves. In this case, it actually doesn't evolve. This Pokemon does not evolve from anything or to anything. It's kind of a loner. And at this point, I'm pretty sure all of you Pokemon masters out there probably know what it is, but my final hint for you kind of comes from its Pokedex entry, actually, or, you know, just like the general information about this Pokemon. Apparently, it loves fruit so much that fruit grows on its neck.
Fruit so that grows on its neck?
Yes.
Well, now I gotta look this Pokemon up now.
Anyway, so that kind of gives a hint about it, both its personality and its appearance. So at this point, I feel like everyone who's familiar with Gen 3 and kind of the more unusual Pokemon probably knows what it is. So yeah, as always, send us your guess on Twitter by tagging at Holly Felmuth, at Only Matt Desendor, at Nintendo Fever, and or use the hashtag NFPokemon. As usual, to send us your guesses. And we did actually get a comment, I think, this past week on, you know, a comment that was not Gentis or Ivan, actually, on whether or not they, you know, so people out there want the Who's That Pokemon section to continue next year. And I think the comment was that they actually like the part where I guess the Pokemon, I think.
Which
I completely forget who this is.
I can't remember. I think I'm looking it up right now to see if I can see it very quickly. But I've always kind of said that too. I feel like one of the funnest parts about this whole thing is trying to get you to figure out what the Pokemon is. Sadly, you're so good at it though that very rarely,
not always,
very very rarely. I was just looking up the NF Pokemon, by the way, on Twitter. Would you like to know the majority of people who mention it? Gentis, Ivan. Sakodin does occasionally. He's on here a few times. We also had someone new this week that I didn't notice because they just tagged you and they didn't tag me, but it was a Mike guy. I don't know who this person is. He follows me though.
Oh, crud. I completely...
But Mike was right. Mike, if you are listening
so bad
right
at
now...
social media.
Mike, if you are listening right now, which I hope you are, we're giving you a big shout out. I know maybe I'm making everyone else feel bad that did make a guess. Ivan, you too. Gentis, you too. And Mike, all you guys, thank you so much for participating in this week's NF Pokemon. And hopefully you guys will participate in this week's too. I guess last week's into this week's. Something like that? Does that make sense? I think I said words that made sense.
Yeah, if you think about it in a roundabout way.
Well, let's go ahead and move on before I make myself sound any more not intelligent. But we're going to move on to recent swag. Holly, I got some cool stuff, but there's a small catch to it, so I want you to go first.
Recent swag?
Recent swag.
Okay. I'm thinking back and... hang on a second. I got some pretty cool recent swag from the Legend of Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses performance in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so jelly.
So last year I didn't bother waiting in line because the lines were so huge and I didn't want to miss any of the concert. But this year I was like, I'm determined. I'm going to wait in line. I'm going to get some merch. It was way overpriced, but I'm still glad I got a couple of souvenirs. I got a program. Well, I actually bought three programs, one for me and one for my brother and then one for a friend of ours. So, you know, that was kind of fun. Little souvenirs for them.
Even and one I think, for me. I appreciate I think, it. You know, oh. Waiting for it in the mail.
I totally would have given you my brother's once I realized how little he cared about it, but I think he lost it. That's how I know.
Oh, no.
He didn't really care about it that much. Big meanie. anyway, so a couple of programs. A piano songbook. So some of the, or actually kind of like the whole performance of the Symphony of the Goddesses, minus like the crazy, like, you know, encore stuff that you get at the end.
Mm-hmm.
All in piano form. So got a songbook, and finally I got a t-shirt. There were also posters on sale, kind of like Skyward Sword art posters, but I already pretty much have that art in poster form, so I figured I wouldn't bother getting that. So yeah, a nice t-shirt, program, and songbook, so that was really cool. And I have to really quick say, 8 minutes ago on Twitter, you know, as we're talking right now anyway, not as you're listening to this, but 8 minutes ago on Twitter, Gentis actually tagged us in a tweet with some really cool recent swag. He got Donkey Kong Yahtzee? Isn't that genius? Like, you know, the DK barrel is what you, like, what? You know, shake the dice in. What? You gotta go on Twitter and see this. This is awesome. So Donkey Kong Yahtzee and a Zelda 2017 wall calendar. Gentis just sent us a picture. And he actually uses the hashtag recent swag, so maybe we can make that a thing. If y'all want to send us your recent swag on Twitter,
well, I have,
you can do so with hashtag recent swag.
I've seen that a few times. I know Factors hit us up a couple times for it as well. Like, yeah, but yeah.
We didn't even make that official.
No, we've never really made it official, but people who listen to the show do occasionally show their recent swag by tagging recent swag in it. You can actually see some of the cool stuff people picked up. Like, I've used it before with a really big pickup that I got one time. I remember I hit up recent swag and stuff. But yeah, if anybody does get some cool stuff on Twitter and they post it, please do do a recent swag post, because I love seeing what kind of deals and cool stuff that people are able to get, because sometimes you're able to find things that I don't know, just kind of crazy. So it's cool to see.
Yeah, thanks for sending those.
Yes, but I got some pretty cool stuff. So
okay.
I got four games. I got two Nintendo NES games and two Game Boy games. But
nice, some old school.
Not going to lie, I only bought one of them to resell it, okay? So that's why there's a small
caveat
to this. The first NES game that I got was called Mad Max. It's not supposed to be any good. It's probably just going to hang out in my collection. It's not the valuable one. Then I got one Game Boy Color games, and then one Game Boy in the black cart. So like it has
right.
a features for the Game Boy Color if you use it or whatever. The first one was The Legend of Zelda, Oracle of Seasons, I think is the one that it was. I think it was the Seasons.
Nice.
And then I was able to also get Dragon Quest Monsters. I don't know too much about this. I think it's kind of a Pokemon-type clone. And then the game that I bought so that I could then resell was called Princess Tomato in Salad Kingdom.
Okay.
It's an NES game. It's super bizarre. It's a point-and-click adventure game. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, is it's a rare game. Obviously, that's kind of why I purchased it and then was going to resell it. And it did cross my mind to keep it and just add it to the collection. The problem was it's worth a little bit more money than I feel comfortable keeping if I'm not going to try and have like a complete in-box set. Going to take the time to try and build, because here's the thing, is I don't actually collect NES games. Like, that's never been a big part of my collection. I mainly collect Nintendo 3DS games, Game Boy Advance games, Game Boy games, a little bit here and there, and then obviously Nintendo Wii stuff, you know, like GameCube and Wii stuff. I like to collect that a little bit more. It's a little bit not so much easier to come by, but it's easier to get complete in box stuff. And if I'm going to do some sort of collecting type aspect with the Nintendo Entertainment System, I would like to get them complete in box, but this game is worth way more money than I'm willing to spend. It's a $200-$250 game
complete
in box. So I'm not going to try and get that completed box, at least anytime in the near future. And this game on its own, I don't have an NES to play it on. It's not something that I just kind of want to hang on to for no reason. So it made a little bit more sense for me to just sell it and make the money for it. I mean, that's kind of how I viewed it. So I did sell it. I'm going to use that money to purchase a new Nintendo 3DS game here sooner than later. And yeah, so that's what I did.
Nice.
That's my recent swag.
I can't fault you for that. It's a good idea.
The other stuff I'll probably keep, the Mad Max game, which isn't supposed to be very good, is it's not exactly a rare game and it doesn't go for a lot of money on eBay or anything like that, so I'm not going to take the time or effort to try and sell it. And then the Legend of Zelda game I'm going to keep, obviously, because it's the Legend of Zelda. It's worth having in a collection. And then the Dragon Quest Monsters, I'm going to at least tinker with it, and then that one is going to be one of those games that I just kind of toss in my closet and forget about. So I'll have it in my collection forever just because I'm too lazy to ever find it again.
Yeah, I'm sure we all have games like that. I know I have games like that. I organize my games really well, so they don't necessarily gather dust in a closet. Like, I actually carry a lot of my 3DS games with me, for example. I carry all sorts of crap with me when I leave the house, including, like, you know, the 3DS itself, plus one of those, Club Nintendo game cases that you could get that holds 18 games.
Oh, yeah, those are my favorite.
And it's completely full. Yeah, completely full with all 18 games. And then another, like, pouch that I keep other, even more games in. Another Club Nintendo, like, DS game holder I actually keep in that pouch. As well as a notebook that tells me which Pokemon are in which boxes in my playthrough of Pokemon Red. So I've got all sorts of weird, crazy things. I carry all of this with me pretty much every day, everywhere I go.
There was a time, I kid you not, when we'd go on a trip, a long trip to like go to Oregon or different places that I've been to, I always have like this little carry-on bag that we take in the car with us, and it has my 3DS, my Game Boy Advance Micro, it has my PS Vita, my PSP, and then it has games for each one of those systems. Like, I
just in case you happen to want to play one.
I know, which is horrible because usually what happens is I sit on my phone and check Twitter a whole lot. Like, for many hours instead of playing some of these games that, like, I need to spend more time in. It's crazy. But I carry games for every single one of the, almost all the games that I have, too, usually. Like, I'll carry all my 3DS games and all my DS games. And then I'll carry all my Vita games and all my PSP games. But, like, when it comes to my Game Boy Advance games, like, I only take, like, 5 or 6 at a time. But that's a ton of games that I'm taking.
That is.
Me. It's ridiculous, honestly.
On these trips.
Yes, it really is. But it's
same
fun.
Here, but traveling, I don't know, it kind of, sometimes when I travel, I just don't really feel like playing 3DS either, so, you know,
yeah,
it happens.
Luckily, my wife will drive, so it gives me the opportunity to, but then when I drive home, because depending on how far of a trip we take, if it's daytime, she'll usually drive, but then at nighttime, I'll almost always drive, and it's crazy because, like, during the daytime, we'll be talking and stuff, and obviously I'm not going to sit there and try to, you know, get really involved in a video game if I'm talking to my wife about stuff, so I'm talking to her for the majority of the time. And then our way home, because it's nighttime, she's over there in the passenger seat
sleeping,
and I'm just like, you know, I would appreciate it if you would just, like, play my games for me. Because if I'm not going to...
Because that arrangement just does not work out for playing games.
If I'm not going to play it, then maybe you should play it at least, anyways.
Yeah.
Moving on to the things that we could purchase and play
purchased one already.
On these long trips out this week. On the Nintendo 3DS, you can find Demon's Quest.
Crest,
which is a new Nintendo 3DS exclusive Virtual Console Super Nintendo game. There's also Galaxy Blaster. And then on the Wii U, we have Fire Emblem, Shadow Dragon, Tesla Punk, and Bridge Connector Playground.
Constructor.
I said something
playground.
Different. Yes, Bridge Constructor.
That's okay.
Playground. I want to talk about a couple of these games, not like super in-depth necessarily, but I'm definitely curious about one or two of them, and I figure you're probably going to tell us a little bit about Fire Emblem.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the one that I got. As soon as I saw it, it was out this week, I was like, yes, getting it. I want to play all the Fire Emblem that I possibly can now that I'm a fan. Fan since 2013 when I played Awakening.
So my question to you is, now that you've played this game, did you spend a little bit of time playing the one on the Game Boy Advance for the Ambassador when you had your Ambassador 3DS?
That's true. Yeah, that's the first experience with a, you know, actual an actual Fire Emblem game that I had, I believe. But then one of my characters died, and I was like, oh, okay. But then they didn't come back, and I was like, oh, lame. So I kind of just, you know, didn't play it. But that's kind of how you were with all the Ambassador games, most likely. You just kind of played each for a few minutes and then kind of dropped them. But that was one that I was totally ready to be all, you know, invested in and everything like that. But I just didn't... I didn't know anything about Fire Emblem and how that worked, really, and so I didn't realize that permadeath was a thing. And so when that happened, I was like, okay, I give up. Who cares? So I don't really count that as, like, the time I became a Fire Emblem fan. And also, I haven't actually played Shadow Dragon yet. I'll talk about what I have been playing a little bit later. I'm such a disgrace. But I do own it now. I'm going to try to get through... You know Fire Emblem Fates? It has, like, those three branching pathways, you know, right? That each are kind of their own game. Well, I'm currently... I beat Birthright. I beat Conquest. And I, for months now, obviously, have been playing, quote-unquote playing, because I haven't really been dedicated to playing it, but Revelation. I swear I'm like two or three chapters at the most away from beating that game, meaning I could probably beat it, you know, in a night if I wanted to, but for some reason I just haven't done it, so I'm going to try to beat that game, and then maybe I'll go back to Shadow Dragon once I'm done with that. That's the plan.
All right, so is that the only game that you purchased, though, from this week's out this week type stuff?
Yeah, Demon's Crest, which is obviously a Super Nintendo game that came out on the new 3DS Virtual Console this week. I already own it on Wii U, so, you know, I actually liked... What's that game we played for the Game of the Month Club that one time?
It's Goblin's Quest. Was it Goblin's Quest?
Are you sure that's what it was called, though?
No.
Gargoyle's Quest, I think.
There you go.
Yeah, so Demon's Crest is kind of like, you know, one of the later sequels, I suppose, to Gargoyle's Quest,
We talked about this one time, I remember, like, we went over, like, all the games that are a part of this, like, bizarre franchise.
Including Ghosts and Goblins,
right? Yeah, like,
right?
Technically,
that's true.
Ghosts and Goblins are a part of, like, this bizarre franchise and stuff, and, yeah, I remember enjoying Gargoyle's Quest quite a bit, and I don't know if this one, have you played much of Demon's Crest? Is it a more traditional style RPG? Is it an action platformer RPG? What is it exactly? You remember?
I'm not exactly sure, actually. It kind of just like looks like it might have kind of the same action platforming gameplay that Gargoyle's Quest had, where you can kind of, like, you know, attach to walls and attack from walls and things like that, but obviously it was on Super Nintendo, so it looks much better. That's just surface. That's just me reading the surface of it, because I never did play it. I'll play a game in a series and enjoy it so much. This happened with me and Paper Mario too.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And then I have to buy... Yes, I have to buy all of the games in that series, and then I don't ever seem to get around to playing them, sadly.
I was looking up some gameplay footage just real quickly of Demon's Crest, and it is very much a almost like a Super Metroid or a Castlevania-style looking game. It looks pretty awesome, actually. This is a game I don't think I'm not personally going to purchase it or look into getting it necessarily, but as a kid, when I used to play my Super Nintendo all the time, this would have been one of those games that would have just, like, sucked me in. It just looks like a ton of fun. But the game that I wanted to actually talk about that I haven't purchased yet, but I'm actually planning on getting it either tonight or tomorrow night as a early gift for my daughter, because she did very good on her... on a test that we were very excited for her to do. So I wanted to kind of reward her. And this game I think she's going to really like is called The Bridge Constructor Playground. I don't know if you've ever played any of these kind of like bridge constructor type games, but it's basically a visual puzzle where it shows you from, you know, this side of the road and this side of the road, and there's a big gap in the middle. You have to build a bridge so that cars can get through it. So it's a very thought-provoking, it's a puzzle game more or less, and it lets you, like, design your own bridges and say, like, well, if I was to make, like, a bar going up here and then down here and then make one, like, all the way over here, would that have better weight distribution than having it the other way around? I don't know. I've played a lot of these games both on, like, my Android phone, on my computer, on other systems and stuff. Like, they're very, very fun, and they're one of those types of puzzle games where, like, if you lose, then you keep trying over and over again, and slowly it just, like, sucks you into it so much that you forgot, like, oh man, I haven't eaten in for 3 days. It's
yikes.
They're very I'm not gonna let that happen to my daughter, mind you, but
yeah, I was about to say exaggeration right there.
But but they're a lot of fun, and I'm not sure what the cost of this game even is, but I'm gonna look into it, because I think it'd be a lot of fun for my oldest daughter, and then I think it'd be a lot of fun for my middle daughter to kind of be watching as a idea of, like, looking for the building blocks, pun in a way, building blocks because you build a bridge. Anyways.
So, out of curiosity, is World of Goo, does that fit into this genre at all? I didn't play much of World of Goo, but it kind of sounds like it might have had the same type of concept, sort of.
Well, the funny thing, the funny thing about World of Goo, actually, is World of Goo is definitely almost like a, it's almost like if you took a bridge constructor style game and kind of broke it down to like the very basic aspect of it. Because all World of Goo is just creating links to help it form to a, like the suction thing that was pulling up all the goo into its suctioning. You're building these structures, right? And I mean, that's kind of what this is, because you are building a structure. I would say that if somebody liked World of Goo, they'd probably really like something like this, and vice versa. If you like something like this, you'd probably really like World of Goo. I mean, they're very similar ideas. They're definitely different in style and in the substance of what it is, but like they're very similar in the basic idea, the foundation of it.
Okay. Okay, that pretty much answers
you
my
question. You could definitely bridge the gap between them. I'm sorry, I had to do it.
Bridge puns are just on par this week, man.
I had to do it. I had to do it. Are they really connecting? Okay, I'm done. I think that's it to talk about for what's out this week. Tesla Punk does look like a pretty cool shoot 'em up game. If anybody's into 2D shoot 'em ups, it looks pretty like a quick, fast action game with a pretty unique art style that is both generic and simple and also kind of bad A and cool. So I don't know. Maybe take a look at it if you're into those 2D style shoot 'em up games. But just wanted to throw that out. But moving on towards the end of the show, Holly, it's time to kind of have our discussion about Nintendo and the future of Nintendo when it comes to mobile gaming. And then I did want to talk to you a little bit about if you saw the Jimmy Fallon, the Switch appearance on Jimmy Fallon, and kind of what you thought about what you saw. I mean, is there anything that stood out to you?
Well, asking what I thought about what I saw is a very apt thing to say, because I saw it. I didn't hear it, because I, you know, Facebook, scrolling through your feed or whatever, you see videos and they automatically play with no volume. And that's kind of the way that you want to keep it when you're working at the front desk of the library. Shh, don't tell my boss.
I'm sure he's a big listener.
Yeah, no biggie. Obviously, you wouldn't know. Anyway, I only really skipped ahead. I'm not that interested in Super Mario Run. I'm not going to lie. The fact that this game is only coming to iOS first has me, like, 0% interested in it. Like, I have virtually no interest in Super Mario Run, sadly, at this moment. Not until I know when I can, you know, try it out on my own, like, you know, device that I am kind of loyal to. Because I'm kind of turning into, like, a crazy Android fan over here a bit. But, so I kind of skipped ahead to the Switch reveal, and, okay, for one thing, that question mark block being on top of it, that was just genius, and then Jimmy's, like, look up, like, oh my gosh, what is it? What's under the question mark block? And then you see Miyamoto in the crowd, and I've seen all sorts of, like, quirky things about, like, the weird things that Miyamoto did while he was there, backstage or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen.
Measuring a pizza is a recent one that I saw. Playing in a band? Did he do that live on the show?
I don't know if he did. So he did it live in front of the audience. I don't know if it happened, like, during one of the breaks or how they showcased it, but, like, he did. He played right. with the band. The band that's there is called The Roots, obviously, and they're kind of they're a known band or whatever, but he played the Super Mario theme on it. It was pretty awesome. It was really cool.
Oh, yeah. So many cool things. And then that, like, you know, kind of like Switch reveal. This is, like, the first time that the Switch has been kind of revealed in a... Obviously, it's the first time it's been revealed outside of, like, a trailer, which obviously is a very controlled form of, you know, communicating something or, you know, putting a visual out there. Mm-hmm. This is a, you know, Jimmy Fallon late night show is a much more raw form of debuting the Nintendo Switch. And I feel like the trailer did not quite do justice to how thin this thing is. It looks really thin. And that was something that really struck me from the footage.
I completely agree, actually. I was really impressed with how it looked like a piece of machinery, a piece of hardware that was less conceptual and more realistic too. Like looking at it like in person instead of just being like on a trailer, like you're saying, it's very controlled, you know, visual standpoint. Watching him like hold it in his hands and stuff, like I was like, okay, this looks like it's legit. Like it's not quite as crazy as an idea that you may have thought it could have been. Like it seems pretty legit.
Yeah. The screen size, I don't know why, but I'm not really sold on the screen size of it in its portable form for some reason. I just feel like even, you know, looking back at the trailer, you know, the official trailer, for example, that scene where, you know, the two guys are playing Mario Kart in the back of the van and everything like that, and they have to get real close up to the screen and like I say, I'm not really sold. It's probably, you know, pretty big. In fact, it looks pretty big based on what we've seen of Jimmy Fallon holding it and everything like that.
Actually, he just has small hands.
Oh.
So it's actually really small. He has really small hands, so it looked really... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Completely kidding.
Oh. It's really kind of unfair of me almost to say that, because I think this screen size is significantly bigger than I would say like the top screen of the 3DS XL.
I would imagine so.
Would you? Yeah.
Because isn't it supposed to be...
It's more like tablet size.
Well,
almost.
It is. I think it's a 6.2. I believe it's 6.2 inches. So, I mean, I don't know. Do you still have your blue phone that I recommended you get a long time ago? Or did you upgrade?
Yeah, that's like 5.
That's 5.1, I believe, or 5.2. So imagine that by just kind of going to, you know, holding it in your hands long ways and just kind of stretching it out just a little bit more. But the thing is the nice thing about the Switch that will always beat a tablet in so many capacities and a cell phone for me is it has buttons, and that is so important for the screen to be able to be displayed all the information that you want to see at any given time, because you're not shoving your fingers in front of it. And this really showcased that, especially showing off The Legend of Zelda being played on it at the same time, is you're getting to see the entire image that you're looking for while you're using these buttons to play it. I mean, it's pretty impressive. I did like that there's been a lot of people, obviously, that have really dug in deep with all the footage and stuff, and one of the things that they were able to find out is that it is going to be using USB-C, or at least that's the connector that they could see for the Switch, which is good news because it means that it's going to charge very quickly, and it's also going to have it. I would imagine it had to have USB-C because USB-C is a quicker form of data transmission, and because you're going to want as low of latency as possible when it comes to displaying whatever it is on the screen, on your screen to the big screen. USB-C seems like it was a big possibility of what it was going to be for the system. Also, we did not get any sort of confirmation from, because Jimmy said when he was holding the Switch in his hands, the screen part of it, he said, "So this is the console. Like, there's nothing over there. This is the console." And it was really interesting because we've heard rumors that the hub is going to boost performance in some capacity, though we don't know exactly what the boost of performance is going to be. Reggie did not say, yes, that's the entire package that you're holding in your hands. He pointed out and said that's the Switch without the dock or something like that, but he never said that there's nothing left over there, which I believe that is going to have some sort of added extra performance boosting of some capacity. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy because you are going to want to take this thing on its own out and about, so they can't have too much of it sitting there on the in the hub, otherwise you'd be losing too much of it. But I do think that that's going to offer something of some kind.
Yeah, and I don't know. I have this fear that, you know, a lot of gamers probably don't... Well, I guess this is a sad kind of generalization, which I probably shouldn't make, but a lot of gamers probably don't spend a whole lot of time, you know, traveling. So a lot of people are just going to be playing this, you know, on their TV screen, just like they play any of their other home consoles. And I suppose if the dock were trying too hard to, you know, be super high powered, it probably still wouldn't measure up to, you know, the competition, I suppose, in terms of power. And so I've had this fear for kind of a long time that a lot of people will use it on their TV only and basically just view it as an underpowered thing that they just happen to be able to, play Mario on, because you can't play Mario anywhere else, really, except phones, man. Isn't, you know... Despite the fact that I have no interest in Super Mario Run right now, that's crazy that, like, an official Mario game is coming to mobile.
It really is.
But anyway, kind of going back to just, you know, power. I think if Nintendo and if people see it as more of a portable than necessarily like something that you constantly want plugged into your TV, then I think that's the way to go. Don't tout it as like this super ultra powerful thing. I'll be glad to play it on my TV, and I probably will play it mostly on my TV, but make it more of a portable thing and appeal to those people who are kind of on the go and who like classic Nintendo, I suppose. A lot of people who grew up on Mario and kind of got, you know, went away from, you know, continuing to be loyal to Nintendo and to continuing to play Nintendo. I swear some of them don't even realize that Nintendo continues to make games.
It seems that way. Or they just assume that they failed and they wonder why they haven't started making games for like Xbox and stuff like that. Something that I think could be interesting as a form of, I don't know, have you heard much about the rumors about GameCube games coming to the Virtual Console?
Haven't heard any rumors, but it wouldn't surprise me.
There's
got to be a GameCube Virtual Console eventually, right?
That's what you'd imagine. Obviously, they've been releasing some HD remakes of some GameCube games a little bit here and there. I guess not too many, just I'm thinking of Wind Waker.
Zelda, Wind Waker, and Twilight Princess, if you...
technically, but...
Played that on... It's actually more, Twilight Princess HD is more of a remake of the GameCube because the Wii version was flipped completely. And the HD remake on Wii is actually, you know, the normal orientation, I guess, that the GameCube began. Unless you're playing in hero mode, but holy smokes, we're digressing here like crazy, I guess.
Just a tiny bit. And there are some cool games that I think a lot of people would like to see. That's my only problem right now with wondering about seeing a GameCube Virtual Console. I would much rather see a lot of those games HD-ified, honestly. Like, do you want to play a GameCube port of Sunshine, or do you want to play an HD remake of Sunshine?
Well, obviously I'd want to play HD, but, yeah. Nintendo would have to charge,
Charge me!
Charge all that additional money. But the thing is, one of my big dreams, this is such a pipe dream, I feel like, at this point, but is to see Fire Emblem. And I think it's Path of Radiance?
Yes, I believe so. Or is that the Wii one?
I don't remember, but the GameCube one, the GameCube one. Getting a hold of a copy of the original GameCube Fire Emblem, that is not easy. Same with the Wii game. And the Wii game could come to Wii U Virtual Console, still hasn't. You have to, I recently actually saw that on sale physically, which, I'll see it on sale online all the time, but physically I saw it on sale and I had the option to buy it, but for about $70, and it's used, obviously. So Fire Emblem, and I doubt that Nintendo would be justified in putting all of the resources into making an HD remake of, Fire Emblem on GameCube. So a virtual console to me would be ideal, purely, just to put out those kind of rarer games that we don't have much of a chance to buy.
Yes, but as Nintendo has kind of shown in the past when it comes to the virtual console, is the one thing that I have always wanted to see from the virtual console is seeing these hard-to-find games or experiences that people were necessarily unable to experience because of X, Y, or Z reasons. That's usually not what we get on the virtual console. We usually get everything that we've already played and everything that we've already beaten and everything that we've already purchased. So that's my only worry when it comes to the hope of a good virtual console for the Switch. Obviously, we've talked about the virtual console to death on the Nintendo Fever podcast, and people I think hear what we have to say pretty well and understand that we love the idea of the virtual console. We just don't feel that it's being executed correctly. One final question though about this, Holly, to you: what are you willing to pay for a GameCube virtual console game? Right now, we're looking at $20 for a Wii game, which I think is too much.
Yeah.
I do believe that a virtual console Wii game is too much money to spend $20 on. It is. It's digital code. There's nothing in your possession. It's too easy to pirate. Obviously, I've said these things over and over and over again. But are you willing to pay $15 for a GameCube game on virtual console?
Well, $10 would be ideal. Maybe $12. Maybe kind of like a middle ground between... $15 and then the N64 game price that has, been $10 for yay long. So maybe 12?
Yeah.
10 obviously would be kind of ideal, but to, because Nintendo sees that, there's the NES generation, $5. Super Nintendo generation, $8. And then you go up to N64 at $10. And so I guess that there's some logic. I hate it, but I guess that there's kind of some logic in increasing the price, you know, as generation of console is newer, I suppose you could say.
I just feel that the cost that they started at with the $5 for the NES games was too much too, personally. You know, that's kind of where I've always kind of stood about the virtual console pricing is I feel like they're not, obviously they're wanting a premium, which it's kind of like, and we'll talk about this very, very soon, about Super Mario Run. When it comes to the pricing and the fact that they are going to be charging a $10 premium, which is, I think, important. It helps protect the IP. So they definitely want to protect their IP for the NES games and the Super Nintendo games and all these other games. But then also it does seem a little bit like kind of icky, you know, like when you look at Earthbound, which is a super hard to find game. Obviously, it's in the $100 range to buy even loose carts sometimes. And you go on to the virtual console and you're like, oh, it's $8 to buy a Super Nintendo game, right? And it's like, well, this one, it's $10. It's like, okay, that's weird. Like, that's just kind of bizarre. Like, it feels kind of, I don't know.
It's like, did it really take that many more resources?
Took $2 more.
On Nintendo's part to get that on the virtual console?
Or are they just feeling like they can charge it and people will buy it? You know, that's where I don't like it, is that it feels like they're doing it just because. And
they know
not.
That people will shell out.
Exactly. And sadly, some people don't. So, I mean, maybe it works a little bit. Maybe it doesn't work enough. It's hard to really know for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I think we're obviously the Switch looks awesome. We got to see Reggie use the Pro Controller with it for a little while. And then it's hard to know exactly how much of that was scripted, in the sense if there was something that happened behind the scenes. There's just no way of knowing, obviously, but it did seem like it happened very quickly from when he put the Pro Controller down and picked up the Switch from the hub. It just kind of turned itself over to this mode. If you pause the video or you watch the video very slowly, you can see a brief moment where there's like a hub menu that happens before he turns it over to Jimmy and shows it off to the audience. It doesn't seem like it takes more than 5 seconds, but obviously this is a prototype still, and it's still in the phases of production. Yeah. So I would imagine that when it does eventually happen, it will be instantaneous. Like, it will be like you lift it and it appears. That's what my guess would be. But I don't know. The footage for Legend of Zelda was more really cool footage for Legend of Zelda. Super excited for this game. It just feels like it's going to be this thing that everyone kind of was hoping. Kind of what everyone was hoping Skyward Sword was going to be to a certain extent, just very open and vast, and you're able to go and have these adventures and stuff. So, I don't know. Super exciting stuff. If you have not watched the footage from the Jimmy Fallon show, I do want to say this. I hate Jimmy Fallon. I do not like him as a comedian. I do not like him as a stand-up comedian. I don't like anything about Jimmy Fallon almost at all. But
yikes.
I love that he loves Nintendo. Because he gives Nintendo more love than almost anybody else. Like, he allows them to come on the show. They showed off Game and Wario on the Jimmy Fallon show. Like, Jimmy Fallon so badly wanted Nintendo to be on his show during E3 that Nintendo brought Game and Wario. Like, nobody wants to see Game and Wario.
I gotta watch this footage, like, with sound, purely because, you know, Miyamoto was there, and I don't think Miyamoto's ever visited, so that must have just been
that was fun. Yeah, like, you gotta see him play heaven. You need to see him play the guitar while they play the Super Mario theme song. That's pretty awesome. It was a lot of fun to watch. I didn't realize he was quite that much of a musician, so that was kind of neat to see.
Yeah, that's so cool. Speaking of musicians, I just really quick here, this is totally out of nowhere, out of left field, but there's this YouTube channel I recently got into that I think is fantastic for Nintendo fans. It's acoustic covers of Nintendo songs and other, you know, video game songs, and they're by the Team Players. So go on YouTube. I hope it would work. It will work if you type in the Team Players on YouTube. Check out that channel. They do some really awesome stuff. So,
okay. Everybody go and
random
check out.
Out of nowhere. And then, I'm not even, I mean, they didn't even ask me, obviously, to, you know, to say anything on the show. I just have grown, or, you know, I just love them so much that I want to let y'all know.
Make
get,
sure
get on YouTube and check that out.
If you check them out on YouTube, make sure you write Nintendo Fever as a comment. Just in the
Nintendo
comment.
Nintendo Fever brought me here.
Yeah, just Nintendo Fever, and then be like,
that wouldn't. Yeah, that might help us a little.
Who's Nintendo Fever? We got to go check those guys out and make them a theme song. But Yeah, but moving on past the Switch, I would like to talk a little bit about Super Mario Run. You had said that you don't really have a whole lot of a whole lot of excitement for Super Mario Run, and I think that it is just as you were saying, it's kind of like it's for the iPhone and for iOS devices, and I don't have an iPhone and I don't have iOS devices, and it kind of forces me to be less interested because I'm not going to spend money to buy this to buy a phone or a device just so I can play Super Mario Run, because right. It will eventually, you know, one day
come to Android.
Yeah, exactly. So there's just not a reason for
Where's
me.
Where's our Android exclusive Zelda game?
Where's our Android exclusive Fire Emblem game or Animal Crossing?
Or Animal Crossing.
And that is what we wanted to talk about a little bit. We want to talk about the future of Nintendo's hardware, or not hardware, but mobile games that are going to be coming out. How much longer until we see the two games that we are aware that are supposed to be coming out, mind you, are Fire Emblem Mobile and also Animal Crossing Mobile. So, Holly, are we looking at 6 months, 3 months? Are we looking at almost 12 months? Like, when do you think that we'll hear, see, and be able to play Nintendo's next big mobile game that is not Super Mario Run?
It's still fall right now. I mean, were the Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing apps, were they supposed to be announced during the fall, like, or revealed basically during the fall, or were they supposed to be released during the fall? I forget.
I can't remember either, but I almost want to say they were supposed to be released during the fall.
Yeah, I know, me too.
But
yeah,
I could be completely wrong.
Wow. I don't know. Maybe Nintendo just kind of dropped the idea. I don't know. I see Nintendo releasing something Animal Crossing-wise for sure at some point. But maybe they could have given up on the Fire Emblem idea, which to me would obviously be very tragic. But yeah, I got nothing. Were there any rumors or anything like that about when Super Mario Run would be coming to Android, or do we have no idea when that's going to happen?
We have no idea. There's
yikes.
Yeah, definitely have absolutely no idea when it comes to when that was supposed to come to Android. I don't see that coming to Android until probably nearly December, because they're going, because Apple's very
like next year.
Yeah, next year, December, like holiday season. And the reason why is because Apple's smart, and I mean this in the best possible way towards Apple, is Apple is going to say, if you want to be on the biggest platform, Android is bigger in a lot of different ways, but when it comes to apps that make money, Apple still makes more money from the apps that are put on the store. Like, developers who make an app on Apple and Android, if it hits on Apple, it will always make way more money on Apple than it ever will on Android, because it's so much easier to pirate things on Android. Like, that's a big reason for companies that charge there are companies like Angry Birds, for instance. They charge for their game on Apple phones, and then it's free with ads on Android phones, because it is easier for them to make ad revenue money on Android than it is to expect somebody to buy the game outright on Android, because it's too easy to pirate the game on Android.
I hate pirators.
They ruin it.
If any pirater out there is listening, I hate you.
Yeah.
I normally would not use that word to describe my feelings toward a person.
Well, not a person, a type, a person in this
situation. Yeah, yeah. So
don't steal, guys.
So if you're listening.
And I would love for us to have a show in the near future. I think Jason would honestly have some pretty interesting things to say about this. By the way, I did have a friend that was going to join us for context, and he was unable to. So hopefully next time he'll be able to. But I would love to be able to have a conversation about emulators and ROMs on the show that is both appropriate and respectful for what it is that we'd want to be discussing about these types of pirating incidents. I mean, I think that there is a time and a place and a purpose for things like a ROM or an emulator, but I do think that they're abusive and they're destructive for the industry as well. So I'd love to be able to have a full conversation about that one day, about those things. That'd be a really good feature.
I would definitely be down for that. Yeah.
But
maybe next week.
I do think it's going to be a long time before we see Super Mario Run come to Android, sadly. And I do think that we will see a exclusive game for Android from Nintendo before we see Mario come to Android, honestly.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
I mentioned Zelda because wasn't the Google Pixel kind of like introduced with this weird little Majora's Mask reference or something like that?
Yes, there was some. It was for the reveal of it. There was some sort of bizarre Majora's Mask type reference for it, and a lot of people thought that during the Pixel event, they were going to announce a Legend of Zelda game for it. That's just kind of what everyone kind of assumed right away. So I do think it's possible. I do think it's definitely possible that we'll see an exclusive Nintendo game for Android. But
and it could be a Zelda one.
It could be anything. I would actually...
Zelda's better than Mario. Suckers on iPhones. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I want to see... I so badly want to see what the Animal Crossing mobile game is going to be. I really, really badly want to understand what it is that they view as being the simplest form of mobile gaming for Animal Crossing. I think that'll be exciting.
Yeah, and wasn't it... I mean, it's already been announced as something that will, like, integrate with the console games. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Plus, you know, how do you make Fire Emblem mobile? Like, what the heck is that going to be? It's probably going to be, you know...
It's probably going to be Clash of Clans. I ain't going to lie. I really...
Yeah.
I really, really, really feel like it's going to be
Clash of Clans. It'll kind of follow a formula, if you will.
Which, you know what? Sometimes the best things that make money are things that follow a good formula. And Clash of Clans, not going to lie, I like it. It's fun. I don't play it as much as I used to anymore. But there was a time when I was very, very involved with playing Clash of Clans on a daily basis for probably nearly 3 months. I mean, it sucked my life up. And I didn't spend a ton of money or nothing crazy like that. But if there was a full-featured type-style game in that same vein... And I could just pay like $10 for it, and it was based around Fire Emblem or even The Legend of Zelda. I think that'd be really cool. I think it'd be a nice way to spin that title off and make it a mobile game. I don't think it's a terrible formula, personally.
Yeah, it's not Nintendo to follow formulas, but well, it's not like Nintendo to follow formulas. When it comes to mobile games,
they just made an auto runner Mario game.
Yeah.
So
that's why I say, like, when it comes to mobile games so far, you know.
Hard to tell. But we'd like to hear from you, actually. Please let us know what are some games that you would like to see come to mobile, and what do you think is a game that would fit mobile really well? Like, besides, like, your wish list of saying, like, oh, I really want a full-featured Fire Emblem game to come to mobile, what's a game that you kind of think actually would fit really well on the mobile atmosphere? And if you don't have one of those, then... think of a way that would make it work and let us know about that too. You can find us obviously on Twitter at @onlymattdesen. You can find Holly at Holly Felmuth. You can also find the official Nintendo Fever account on Twitter as well at Nintendo Fever. And you can send us an email, as we always appreciate, podcast@nintendofever.com, and let us know what are your dream games for the Nintendo mobile future. We'd love to hear about them. But I think that's it for me, Holly. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good to go. I'm all Nintendo'd out.
I am too. Like. You know what? I feel like we almost hit on a little bit of a low note. Like, I feel like we've been pretty much on riding a pretty decent high, and this kind of got a little bit dark and scary with, like, the mobile future and stuff like that. But I think it ended well. At the end of the day, Holly, I think you can agree, all we want to do is play great Nintendo games.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll see you guys later. Thank you guys so much for listening, and see you next week. Bye.
Stay fresh.